Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
It is Christmas Eve here on Fantasy Sports Today. One more show before we hit the holidays. Craig Mish, Joe Pisapia, and our show starts now.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Toward the end zone. It is caught. Seattle's going to the Super Bowl.
Fires up the middle. Pass is caught by Owens. Owens made the catch.
Pass is caught. Diggs. Sideline. Touchdown. Unbelievable. Toss to White. He's in. Patriots win the Super Bowl.
And good afternoon. Welcome in. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Whatever you celebrate today. Hope you enjoy it. Joe Pisapia, Craig Mish with you here on the show. At Joe Pisapia 17, at Craig Mish with you here until 2 o'clock Eastern. And we got Sean Guastamacchia producing the show. It's our final show before we shut down for a day. I'll be back here on Thursday and Friday. But Joe, first of all, congratulations. I know you won a big championship there last night. And I know for a lot of people, it didn't go the way that they were expecting. And I don't know that there's a lesson to be learned from this, because certainly everybody was on board with the Boone train. But unfortunately for him, it did not go well. But for you, it went well. I guess we'll start off with that one first and foremost. And congratulations on bringing home a title last night.
Exactly the right word. A title, a belt. I've always wanted one of these. And it is my first big football, quote unquote, expert league. There's some great people in there. Some people from our network, Dave Martinez. It's got Frankie Stamfel in there, Frankie Bag of Donuts. It's got Mike Randall, my partner from the Line Star DFS podcast. It's also got, of course, Jake Seeley in it, my good pal and your mortal enemy. And it's got Adam Ronis. And Adam Ronis, to me, is one of the top five fantasy analysts that there is, in my opinion. And I couldn't get a better guy, a better dude. And he is always at the top, whether it be baseball, whether it be football. I mean, it's just impossible to beat that guy. So winning and beating him pretty handily, you know, that's a 25, 30 point win there, was a good feeling yesterday. And of course, we were very cordial with each other because he is a gentleman and a scholar. But my goodness, Craig Mish, the ability to hold that belt in my hand, and I will take pictures and I will be obnoxious at the draft with it. I'm going to, before the draft starts, get a video making Jake Seeley hold my wrist and raise my hand. Very Triple H kind of style, very Shawn Michaels old school WWE attitude era style. And it's going to be a good feeling. So it's not all about the money. Sometimes it's about the pride. And it was a fun league. And this was a super flex league where I lost my third pick overall, which was Andrew Luck. So there you have it. See, sometimes you can't let injuries get you down. You can't let retirements get you down. You got to just plow forward and go win that championship, Craigie. How about you? Do you have the hardwares? We have the one, right? Not the two.
We have no hardware on my
end. No, I thought you had the one.
No, what hardware?
I thought you had the one hardware. I thought you had the one championship this year.
Home Depot hardware. No.
Oh, you know, I don't like the Home Depot. You like the Home Depot? I hate the Home Depot.
Well,
like, we're supposed to be men who, you know, like, we're men. We're like, I hate Home Depot. I hate it.
Well, I mean, it's sometimes you got to get stuff there. There's just no choice, you know?
I don't know. I feel like every time I go there, I ask somebody, I'm like, hey, do you know where this is? And they're like, I don't know. I work in aisle 6. You'd have to talk to somebody who works in aisle 10.
Oh, well, there goes our sponsorship from Home Depot. That's okay. We'll stick with Lowe's.
See, I think it's the same people.
Go over to Lowe's. No, I played for the championship, of course, but no, didn't win. So second place is not bad. But, I mean, we'll take home a lot of money, but, you know, that's just because the entry fee is so high. But no, that's no championships for me this year. No championships for me last year. I don't even know when the last time I won a championship. But either way, we kind of dive into the Monday Night Football game. A lot of people thought that they were going to win a championship, starting Matt Boone at running back. And bad Kirk Cousins showed up again last night. Kirk Cousins now 0-9, I guess, on Monday Night Football, or 0-9 in night games, whatever the case is. It looked like without Dalvin Cook, the Vikings did not have
the year. You also called him Matt Boone.
What is his name?
Mike Boone.
Mike Boone.
This is how bad. Craig is done. Once Craig has been eliminated, that's it. He shuts off. It's all baseball as far as Craig Bish is concerned.
I still think his name is Matt Boone. So it could be. But, either way, look, congrats to Green Bay. They've been doing it all year long and just keep proving people wrong, by the way. They win the division and certainly did plenty enough to get it done. Aaron Jones, if you're waiting for him for a touchdown on Monday night, you got it. Rodgers did enough. Adams did enough to get you a championship. And they'll head into the playoffs, I think, in a really good spot. They'll have a home game. I think they'll probably get upset at some point. I'm not really big on Green Bay. But in terms of Minnesota, I just didn't think that Dalvin Cook was that viable to a team and that valuable to a team that they couldn't function without him. They could not function at all without him last night. Very bizarre. No.
Dalvin Cook is the show there, and I think everybody's realized it. And I got a lot of questions this weekend about, do I start DeAndre Washington or do I start Boone? Mike Boone, by the way. Do I start Deion Lewis now that he's out there and I can pick him up, or do I start Boone? And I kept, honestly, Boone was never the answer for me in all of those Twitter things, because I was just afraid of the, and you know this as well as anybody, these end of the year tight games that you get sometimes when these teams that are, you know, in division and they kind of get these little scrum fests. And look, by the half, this game was certainly not a very thrilling big time scoring game. And really, it wasn't a big time scoring game in general. I mean, 33 is not a very big number. It's definitely the under. So I think that was the biggest fear. And I feel like that's why it's good to dabble and listen to shows like this and even other shows on the network and understand, you know, kind of the over-unders, even if you're not a betting person, because it does kind of affect your fantasy bottom line. You look at it and go, you know, what do I really think that total is going to be in that game? Well, I don't think it's going to be 40-something. I think it's going to be less than that. And if it's less than that, then where do we go for the points? And how many opportunities is Boone going to have to score? Well, he kind of has to get a touchdown at least. Whereas you look at some of these other games and you look at that Oakland game and go, well, it's going to be wide open. Nobody's playing defense in that one. I would go with DeAndre Washington. And I think that was the difference maker. And I think that's why having a well-rounded knowledge of all of these components and stuff that we talk about on this show really does, you know, the betting informs the fantasy, the fantasy informs the betting a little bit. And I think that's a nice little marriage that we've been able to do and achieve here.
Yeah, and it is a shame for people, because you would have thought at the very least Boone could have got you like 5-6 points if you were heading into Monday night. And man, he just, they completely fell short. Stephon Diggs did end up scoring a touchdown. So for me, we closed the gap from down 60 to down 20. And that was about it. But that's,
and Boone doesn't catch the football. That was the other problem. You know, if Boone was an all-purpose kind of a back, I think it might have had a different answer. But we didn't get a chance to see him catch the football. And everybody, oh, but Mike Boone this, Mike Boone that. I mean, isn't Kirk Cousins really the biggest disappointment here? I mean, we don't hang it on Boone, but isn't really it on Cousins more than anyone?
Yeah, it's just strange how for these night games, he just can't.
0-6 on Monday nights.
It's nuts. They say that his preparation is to the minute for these day games and it gets thrown off for the night, but it shouldn't be this drastic based on the way that he plays. But again, all the credit to Green Bay. They win the North, and now we move on to more or less the playoffs for a lot of teams. Not a lot at stake, unfortunately, this coming Sunday in the NFL, which will create some wild point spreads and a lot of shifting lines, usually as it does in week 17. All right, we're off and running. This is Fantasy Sports Today, and hope you guys are having a nice holiday season. Coming up next, it's time for the opening drive here on FST. Don't forget, you can like and subscribe to our show just by downloading it every single day or listening on the FNTSY app. Also, iTunes, Android, and Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, wherever you listen to your shows and your podcasts, it'll get sent right to your phone, right to your iPad, however you listen, your tablet, etc. In addition to that, you can also listen to the show live by listening on the iHeartRadio app, as well as the Fantasy Sports Radio app. We'll take a quick timeout and hit the opening drive next on Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia. Fantasy Sports Today presents
first play from scrimmage.
The opening drive.
The first play of the game.
From the opening play and all the way for a touchdown.
And welcome back. This is the opening drive here as we get ready for the holiday season here as Joe Pisapia and Craig Bish back with you here on the show. We start off, Joe, with perhaps this one of the more surprising stories, for sure, in the NFL season. And we'll have to have, you know, obviously watch and see how it plays out. I mean, the Antonio Brown stuff's got to be the craziest off the field story for sure. This one is an off the field slash on the field story, is with Chris Carson fracturing his hip and CJ Procise also out for the year for the Seattle Seahawks. They decide to go off the street and pick Marshawn Lynch up, who hasn't played in the NFL in a year, to be their bell cow running back, it looks like, in the playoffs. Now, this is a great story. This gives us content for a show. Lynch was not very good with Oakland. I remember this vividly. People were still taking him fairly high in fantasy leagues. But they really have no choice at this point. So they have to have some sort of threat going into the playoffs. The good news for Lynch is he'll have this week to get ready. And if I'm not mistaken, am I wrong by saying if Seattle wins this week, they would get a bye? Is that correct?
Am I correct? If they win, they have the same record as the 49ers, and then they would have the two-game advantage because they beat them twice. So, right.
All right.
So it's an amazing
kind of
one.
They got to really win.
Already twice. So Seattle went from the 5 to 1, and then San Francisco flipped it last week because Seattle lost and they won. So they could flip it a third time here, which would be just wild. I mean, this team going back, and they could very well meet a fourth time in the playoffs at some point, which would be insane. A third time, in the playoffs. Let me tell you, it's a fun story. It really is. This is exactly the kind of story I want Christmas week 17, where nothing, you know, I'm just like, well, I have no investment in this. This is just fun. Let's see what happens there. And this is exactly why you're not trying to play championships in week 17, because guys like Marshawn Lynch are showing up and playing football again. I can't imagine what kind of shape he's in to be able to come and do this. He clearly passed the physical that he went through yesterday in order to sign the contract to come and play. I love it from the narrative standpoint. It's a great Christmas folktale if he should somehow show up. And I mean, you and I both know, right? What if Marshawn Lynch has just one of those old Marshawn Lynch knocks over two guys, you know, and just steamrolls a couple people? You and I both know that building hasn't been good this year. That building might just pop, and maybe that's exactly what the Seahawks need. I don't know what's left in the tank. I can't wait to see it. My guess is not much. I don't want to judge him too harshly on the Raiders, because a couple years ago, that offensive line he was running behind was absolutely terrible. It was one of the worst in the league. But I don't know, man. It makes me smile. I love Marshawn Lynch. He's a character. He's fun. I like personalities, and I hope it goes well. I'm rooting for Marshawn Lynch and the Seahawks, although I think this is kind of grasping at straws.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how it'll work. I remember him retire. Did he retire twice already? Is this the second
time? I don't even think he retired. I just think nobody went after him this last
time. I think he retired the first time. Remember, he had the picture of the cleats, right?
He retired, and then he came back to play with Oakland, and then nobody signed him when he was a free agent. And then he's like, all right, I guess I'm not playing football anymore.
Right. Now he comes back again. Look, you know, I mean, it will make for good theater for sure, and it gives us some fun content for next week, no doubt. So he'll play Sunday night against the 49ers. Second down, what a bizarre story this is. Rich Hill, pitcher of the Dodgers, and his wife both arrested at the Patriots-Bills game on Saturday. Apparently, the wife wanted to bring something into the stadium. They wouldn't let her. Police then, you know, she was being, I guess, belligerent. They tried to put her in a police car. Rich Hill would let it happen. Of all the guys to expect, I never would expect Rich Hill and his wife here. And, of course, the jokes are ensuing that he got a blister on the way in, you know, that sort of stuff. But kind of one of the weirder stories of the weekend for sure.
He's already hurt, right? So it doesn't matter. Like he's already had surgery, and he's not able to pitch for like the next 6 months anyway, right? I remember he's out already.
I think so. Till June, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I saw this story too, and I just laughed. I mean, his wife is now going to be out for 3 to 6 months in the prison. I mean, what's the problem? I don't understand. Why can't you just, you know, not bring your stupid bag to stupid game? Everybody knows what you're allowed to do. This is just people who are rich who think they're better than everybody else. Not like Craig Mish. He's salt of the earth. He's not better than anybody else. If he goes to Billy Joel concert with his wife, he tells her, you put all your crap in a Ziploc bag. I want everybody to see what's in that bag. We are good law-abiding citizens. I know that about Craig Mish.
That's
not
exactly
Rich Hill.
What I say.
Yep. That's right. Honey, here's the Ziploc. Go ahead. Go put your mascara and your wallet in there. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yep. Weird one for sure of all the things to happen.
It was definitely weird.
Did not expect to hear this. Okay. Third down, back to football we go. Mike McCarthy, former head coach of the Green Bay Packers, interviewed with the Carolina Panthers for their head coaching job. There have been a lot of stories about how McCarthy took the year off to dive more into analytics and more studying and learn things that he didn't know necessarily about the game. Clearly wants to get back in, Joe. And my guess is that some team will give him another opportunity to coach. Toward the end of his tenure in Green Bay, it was very obvious that the league was changing and he wasn't really changing along with it. I guess that's probably the best way to put it. But honestly, whatever you want to say about him, he may not be a fantastic coach, and probably that's true. But as compared to some of the bottom five or bottom six coaches, you could do worse. So my guess is he's going to get an opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, there was also some decline in Aaron Rodgers, too, and maybe a bit of an unwillingness to reshape the offense around that decline. And I don't know if that's all on Mike McCarthy. Sometimes it takes a fresh voice or somebody coming in the organization and the ownership and people saying, hey, you know, we're bringing in this coach. We make sure that we're going to do some different things now because, you know, like they had a ton of success. I mean, he had a ton of success for a very long time.
Yeah, won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think Mike McCarthy is a good football coach. I think Mike McCarthy is going to be an asset to any team. I think there was really no jobs except the Jets last year that were up that really could have enticed him to come back. And of course, the Jets made the wrong decision. I would rather have Mike McCarthy than Adam Gase any time of the day. But I think this is a great scenario. And if he should get this job in particular, I love it for two reasons. Number one, for him, he's got the best weapon in football in Christian McCaffrey. And number two, he's got an open opportunity to do whatever he wants at quarterback. And that is such a huge deal because some organizations where you come into a situation and you basically have to live and die with what they have at quarterback. Some coaches don't get to pick their quarterback after that's over. They're already fired. And other times, sometimes you come into a fresh spot and, you know, you just don't have a lot of talent. I think this team has some talent around it. They basically were just a failure, as Greg Olsen said, from top to bottom, and they've never recovered from that Cam Newton injury. They have talent at wide receiver with DJ Moore. They have talent at running back. They have talent with Luke Kuechly. There's players on this team that you could turn this thing around quickly and win. And if I'm Mike McCarthy, I definitely think this is one of the best jobs out there. And I don't feel like it's a high drama job either, you know, compared to the Cleveland Browns situation. Like, you come into Cleveland Browns and you got to deal with Mayfield and maybe Odell and everybody else. Ugh, man, that is a headache.
Yep. All right, fourth down here. Speaking of headaches, Bill Cosby apparently has one from jail as he heard Eddie Murphy take a shot at him on Saturday night, which was the highest rated Saturday Night Live in, I think they said, like 20 years or so.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah. Bill Cosby's representative fired back at him, Joe, basically saying that, you know, Bill Cosby and others paved the way for Eddie Murphy to be able to do what he did. They took a bunch of shots at him, and then toward the end, and, you know, Cosby's rep took a bunch of shots at Murphy. And then at the end said, you know, we should all get together for a meeting of the minds.
So in prison.
I think, listen, I understand defending yourself. OK, like I get that on Cosby's end for sure. I mean, that's what I would do if I was regardless. I would have somebody fire back. But then at the end, trying to make peace and saying, oh, we should get together. I mean, come on. I mean, too late for that. Right. I mean, that
The Los Angeles Correctional Facility. It's Bill Cosby. Saturday Night Live. I mean, come on, man. Bill Cosby, you know, what point do you stop being? He's so self-righteous. And it is one of the great Eddie Murphy pits. Because the bit, I think it was Raw, right? It wasn't Delirious. I want to say it was Eddie Murphy Raw, where he did the whole thing where Bill Cosby calls him up. He's like, why do you have to speak with the filth and the flame and the flam all the time? And then the children speak in the filth. And he's like, I don't tell you how to do comedy. And he's right. Like, why do we all have to be the same? Why can't people have their own style and their own uniqueness? And also, how could you possibly tell a then, what, like 25, 26-year-old Eddie Murphy, who is a multimillionaire, the most popular guy in the entertainment world, to stop doing what he's doing when he's making millions of dollars and he's 26 and he's going to be irreverent and fun? And now Eddie Murphy is 56 or whatever he is, and he's got 10 kids, as he said, and he's the dad to them. And he's and I've seen him on, did you see him on the Seinfeld thing with the comedians in cars?
Mm-hmm.
He was basically, I mean, it felt like that's what he was. He was like stay-at-home dad who just like makes lunches and does the things and that's it. And how great that he has that evolution. If I was Bill Cosby, I would have thought to myself, that I'm pretty proud of him that he made that evolution. Yeah, he took a dig at me. But then again, I drugged a bunch of women to have sex with them while they were passed out. So I guess I'm a pretty awful person.
All right. Well, with that, we'll take a quick time out.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, happy holidays, everybody. Yeah, watch out for the eggnog this year. Okay.
The eggnog. It's been intestine. Don't do it, Greg Nish.
Go scaring the kids. Okay, let's have our DFS approach coming up next. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Get in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, where listeners of this show can get a deposit bonus of up to $500. And here's how it works. Create a DraftKings Sportsbook account, make a deposit, place your first bet, and DraftKings will match it with a 50% bonus up to $500. This offer is eligible for all users, plus new users can get a risk-free bet of up to $200. Just go to sportsgrid.com/DK to play. That's sportsgrid.com/DK. You must be in New Jersey to take advantage of this offer. Eligibility restrictions apply. See website for details. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. If you have a gambling problem, we are just a couple of days away from week 17 in the NFL. And I would guess that this is a very dangerous week to play DFS. It has got to be super interesting because you're trying to decipher playing time. You're trying to figure out who's going to be in, who is going to be out. We've had teams like the Ravens basically say we're shutting everybody down. We've heard this from several other teams as well that don't have playoff possibilities. There's no point spreads on several games this week as well because they're just not sure how things are going to be. I mean, normally you would look at a week, Joe, and you would see, Houston playing against Tennessee at home. You'd figure, okay, you know, Houston's probably 2-3 point favorites, maybe that. Tennessee's 5 point favorites this week because, of course, they don't need the game. So a lot going on. I don't really know how to dive in. My guess is you got a shot at winning a lot of money because of just the variance as to what could happen. But there's also a chance you could end up with a zero if you're not careful.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the problem. You have to know, number one, like Craig's saying, who's playing for what, and understand that, a lot of teams right now this time of year aren't playing for anything. So they're going to be a whole different, like Lamar Jackson's not in there. That means you're going to get Robert Griffin III. Okay. Well, can he run this kind of offense? Yeah, he can. You're not going to get Mark Ingram. It means you're going to get Justice Hill. Can Justice Hill run the football a little bit? He looked pretty good last week when Mark Ingram was out. So this is an opportunity for a lot of guys too, going into next year to kind of showcase themselves a little bit. Yeah, it's week 17. It doesn't mean a whole lot, but at the same time, it does mean something to these guys and some of them who haven't gotten to play a lot this year. Now, pay lines are going to be huge this year. Week 17 are always, always the highest pay lines every single time. You look at the last couple of weeks, they're higher than normal. Usually it's like it goes in like a 20% tick up. It's going to go even probably into the 30% over what it normally is. So if it was like a 115 or something like that to cash in a cash game kind of scenario to hit a pay line, you're probably looking at a 135 or something like that because defenses go home. Nobody wants to take a hit. That's what it's going to be. So looking at what's available and what's out there, what people are playing for, Carson Wentz to me looks like a quarterback you want to own. It's a great matchup against the Giants. Giants gave up a ton of points last week on defense to the Washington Redskins. It's a good salary on FanDuel at 7,700. It's a good matchup. Again, playing for something they want to solidify themselves here in that. And I think that's where you start and you can kind of build around that. Now, the good news there too is Zach Ertz, unfortunately for him, is not good news. He has a broken rib, but Dallas Goedert could see a lot more action this game. And he's always the cheaper of the two. And he's proven that he can be very good in that offense. So that right off the bat is a pairing that I like. Craig Mish, how do you feel about the Wentz and Dallas Goedert pairing to start things off here?
Well, the Giants have certainly struggled a lot defensively, and if they're going to struggle against Washington, then I would guess there's a good chance that they would struggle against Philadelphia. Goddard has been really good all year long. Even when Ertz has gotten his, Goddard's still pretty 5 for 50. It's really amazing to think that you can start two tight ends in a fantasy league. So for DFS, it makes sense.
Yeah. Now, over on the running back side of things, too, when you're just trying to cherry pick certain guys, I don't believe, correct me if I'm wrong, the Saints really can't change their stars, correct? But they can potentially lose ground because they can't get to the one spot already because they've already lost to San Fran. So I forget, are they locked into the two or they still have to win this week? I want to be 100% sure. I know you know this.
Well, no, I don't. But
no, I thought you did. Okay, sorry. I mean to put you on the spot there.
Well, I think that they can lose the two seed because if they lose to Carolina and Green Bay beats Detroit, then Green Bay would have the two.
Right. And going into that, Alvin Kamara at 7,900 might be the best value on the board. He might be the guy you must start every lineup with. And it doesn't matter if it's chalky. You look at the stats. Carolina's ranked 32nd over the last 10 games, giving up, get this, 2.1 rushing touchdowns for a running back on average. On average. And Kamara, up until last week, hasn't been scoring a lot of touchdowns. Everybody knows that narrative. Carolina's also giving up over that same span 150 rushing yards per average on the, I mean, that is an amazing number. So Alvin Kamara is in a great spot here. Carolina is the absolute worst. They've absolutely folded up the tents, gone home. They're a failure. They know they're a failure. They're going to phone this one in. And when you're looking at the board and you see who's expensive and you know Christian McCaffrey's playing for, you know, records and things like that, you can go up there and try to pay for him. I think it's a big mistake because I think Alvin Kamara is the guy who is a much better value and save you plus 2,000 at least salary on both sides. So how do you feel about Kamara against the Carolina Panthers and just keep hammering the Panthers on a weekly basis here?
Yeah, I mean, this one's a little, I feel a little bit different about this one because I do think that based on what I saw from Carolina last week, that this has a chance to get out of hand. So you really would need, I think, Kamara to get off.
Well, how does it get out of hand? Does it get out of hand because of Kamara?
It may not be, though, you know, and that's the risk that you take. And, you know, you only have two shots at this in the first half and then shutdown. And the other part of this is that is deeply concerning for me with starting a guy like that is that Vegas sees it that way, too. And mm-hmm. the line is only 47.5, which means they understand, which we understand, is that I don't think Will Greer's throwing the ball at all. I think they just want to get out of there with no injuries, give the ball to McCaffrey over the middle and run and over the middle and run, and that's it. So I would have to say that I probably would not go Kamara in this week because, again, you're looking at a game. Very rarely would I say, yeah, you got to lay points. I understand week 17 is different than others, but if the Saints are up 21-3 at the half, and Kamara does not score, which is possible. Could be Murray, could be some other guys.
No, it could be Cook too. And I think you hedge your bets there in that kind of a stack because here's my take on it. I think you go with Kamara on the DK side and the full point PPR because I think regardless, he's going to return value against Carolina. On the half point PPR side, where he's a little bit more touchdown dependent, you have a Kamara lineup and then you have a Breeze Michael Thomas lineup or a Breeze Jared Cook lineup and just kind of play for the touchdown and then spread that money around in other spots where you can. You know, you can put Michael Thomas in a lineup very easily just by adding a Justice Hill into a lineup or adding some of these other guys that we'll talk about in a bit, too.
Yeah, like the guy that I would consider would be Mac on the Colts. Like,
well, that's the next guy on the list. Look at okay. you. So right. you see, and you say you don't do DFS enough. You should. Jacksonville's ranked 31st, giving up 1.2 rushing touchdowns over the last 10 games. They're ranked 30th in the league over that span, giving up 122 rushing yards to opposing running backs. So Marlon Mack, great matchup here. I feel like Indianapolis, because it's Frank Reich and everything, they want to finish this thing strong. That seems to be their MO. They seem to be that kind of a team, and they have a great opportunity here to do that. You always wonder, you know, this time of year, hey, if they're up by a lot, what happens? You pull guys, maybe you do. But I think from a Marlon Mack standpoint, you can't ignore how good the matchup is. I think that's something to keep in mind. And on the other side of that game, too, I don't think you want to ignore Leonard Fournette, too, especially in the full point PPR. The guy's got almost 80 catches on the year. That is a staggering number of catches for a running back, especially for Leonard Fournette. So that's another situation where you look at that. You want to fade guys like Le'Veon Bell because he just hasn't touched the football enough. And at this point, he's looking elsewhere. You want to fade all the Chargers guys this week against the Chiefs as well. I think that Chiefs defense has played very well. We've talked about it. I don't like the Chargers situation this week against that Chiefs defense because they've really turned things around.
Crazy. Yeah,
it's kind of nuts. DJ Moore was not in last week. Now, I guess the question is, you know, can we go there this week? Well, if he's healthy, no, you don't want to go there anyway because Marshawn Lattimore is there. Is Michael Thomas worth paying for at 92? Yes, he is. 7 red zone targets in his last 3 games and has 12 or more targets over those last 3 games too. So in terms of volume, in terms of, hey, I want to get that one guy who can get me 25 and lock that in, it's Michael Thomas and it's going to be cheaper than McCaffrey. Now, I'll pose that question to you.
No, $1,000 more. I'm off on those guys, man.
You're off on all of them.
Yeah, I would not play the Saints guys this week. Yeah. And again, it's not so much about playing the Saints. And even, by the way, if this was the Saints going against Tampa or going against Atlanta or one of those types, I probably would do it. This is a Carolina team with no coach, no receivers, no passing game. They just want to get out of there. So I think this is going to be like a Denver game plan for Carolina. I'm very worried about them just running down the clock and then going home. And so, I mean, look, could Thomas get 5 catches, 70 yards and a touchdown? Look, he does every week. So that's not unreasonable to think. But if there was ever a week that I would be concerned with it, it would be this week. I don't think Carolina stands a chance in this one. Greer just played so bad. And you know, owning McCaffrey and playing in the playoffs, certainly I was watching this game a lot. And what would happen basically is that once every three or four times Greer would throw a pass downfield, it would either be picked or almost picked. And then they would just run or throw it to McCaffrey five straight times after that. I don't think they take any chances at all.
Well, here's the thing. I think they're going to give the ball to McCaffrey a ton, but I don't think it's worth paying the premium.
Maybe not for McCaffrey either, but I don't trust the Saints.
Thomas's floor has been so high all year. And in a time where there's so much value on the board with some of the guys like going to Robert Griffin to play quarterback and trying that, or, you know, some of these other guys that are going to be out there and available. It makes sense in cash games to at least establish a good floor with a guy that, and I think if you're going to do that, you almost can't do it with McCaffrey because it's so price prohibitive. But I'll tell you what, Julio Jones, I don't care what the price is.
Well, that game, I'd play everybody. I'd play Watson. I'd play Perryman. I'd play everyone.
This is my favorite game to attack this week.
It's got
to
be. Yeah.
And I think everybody needs to be on this one. And I had to start with Julio Jones. 5 red zone targets in the last 3 games. Target 8 times in the last 3. That's definitely a game you want to get involved in heavily. So the question is, do you want to go with Matt Ryan at quarterback? Or do you want to go with Jameis Winston?
Oh, man.
Well, yeah, you'll probably want to pick one because
it's usually Winston's one good, one bad. So isn't this the good one coming up?
He had 2 good ones in a row. So it's kind of hard to gauge. Yeah. So now I don't know what to think now. I'm completely lost on this. But I think Freeman, I think Julio Jones. Look, it's at Tampa. You know, normally I would have leaned with the home team, but seeing what he did last week at home, I'm not feeling it. So I'm going to actually lean with the Matt Ryan side of this one personally and just try to avoid the mistakes. Because I feel like in a week like this where pay lines are so high, those little tiny mistakes where Jameis Winston kind of pulls his own value down a couple points at a clip, that could be the difference maker of why you end up losing this game.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So I'm going to leave Matt Ryan there.
Do we have time for any more?
Let's do a quick one on tight end real fast. Favorite tight ends and defense, and I'll pull up those in 1 second here. Just let it load up. There you go. Again, Dallas Goedert's a guy I'm looking for. Austin Hooper as part of that stack, too. He's just 6K over on FanDuel. Love him in this one this week. And on the defensive side, I know it's difficult, but I think you really want to consider paying up for defense because the Patriots are going to have a good matchup here against Miami. You cannot run the football. And at 5K, I know it's expensive, but I think you can do it. Also, that Green Bay Packers defense against the Detroit Lions at 4,800, even though it's on the road, I really like them as well. So I think it's a week where you pay up for defense if you can. If you want to pay down a little bit more, I'll go after those Chiefs again against the Chargers. They are at home, and 4,300, you could save a little bit more there.
All right, so there you go. DFS for the weekend ahead. We'll take a short time out on Fantasy Sports Today. And when we come back next, it is time to dive back into Florida Man. Happy holidays to all of you. It was a happy holiday to one man in Florida. I'll tell you about that next. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia. And now it's time on Fantasy Sports Today to see what's going on in the Sunshine State with Florida Man.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Happy holidays, happy Kwanzaa, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah. As always here, we enjoy a good Florida Man story. And we've got a lot of them for you this week. So let's kind of dive into some of these. And it's an interesting week. By the way, one nice Florida Man story, by the way, too, this week. For the holidays, we're actually going to mix in a nice one, too. So let's start off with a story in St. Petersburg, Florida, ironically with the last name of Spurrier. So let's just assume that there's no relation here. But a police arrested a man who admitted to handing out marijuana, quote, because it was Christmas. Richard Spurrier was in the sharing spirit on Saturday. He had 45 grams of it and was passing it out to people who were passing by on the street, 16 2nd Street in North Petersburg, according to Pinellas County arrest report. During an interview with police, he said he was sharing the drugs because of the holiday. They also found a hidden sword, by the way, when they arrested him around 11 o'clock p.m.
It's like the Highlander in Florida. Maybe I should move to Florida. It feels like the Highlander is down there. Like, that's, I want to be a part of that. There could be only one.
Yeah. So if you're in St. Pete and you see a strange guy handing out little bags, this is your time to shine.
So this is the feel-good story, right? Free weed for everybody? This is great. I love this.
This is not the feel-good story, no. I got a good one coming up.
This is not the feel-good story? No, I don't know, dude. I feel pretty good if that guy was handing me out stuff right there in the street. I know I could use a little, you know, this time of year, especially. Everyone's a little stressed out from the holidays. A lot of stuff going on. Man, that black book would totally get itself done so fast.
It would be the green book. The green book.
Oh, dude. It'd just be a marijuana leaf on the cover. It'd be amazing. Yeah.
All right. We got to keep our PG
seriously, like, hold
ranking
on.
Here. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we got the PG-13, right? It's fine.
We're on the Cardano line.
We're on the Cardano line. I know what the Cardano line is. I've seen that line. I will not step over that line. But, you know, I keep looking where marijuana is legal in all these places. And I feel like at this point, it's like, well, as long as he's handing it out to adults, I think it's fine. You don't want to hand it out to little kids. That's fair. But, you know, it's like, hey, you know, Merry Christmas. Here you go. Here's right. a little dime bag for you.
It's funny that it's on. Honestly, it's a story that 5-10 years from now, nothing would even happen from this. It's funny how the world is changing like that.
Probably.
All right. Story number two. One Florida man has big plans for President Trump, wants to buy up a whole town and redevelop it into a combination presidential library hotel called a presidential township. This is interesting. This is a theoretical sale for a price of a town this man wants to sell, called Briny Breezes, Florida. Never heard of it. For $1 billion. Local real estate broker James Arena outlined his vision in a video he posted on Facebook this week, explaining that he would pursue the plan if he was elected mayor of Briny Breezes. He said he wants to allow the Trump Organization to redevelop the entire town into the first presidential township in America, renaming it Trump Town, USA, in honor of the greatest president in American history, Donald Trump. Now, look, obviously, this is aside from politics here, but we will dive into it because the man wants to literally change an entire city in Palm Beach. We know that President Trump does have a home, of course, in Palm Beach. But Joe, $1 billion for a town, and he'll do it, but he's got to be the mayor first.
Yeah, well, it's funny because in The Watchmen, part of the alt-right lives in a town called Nixon Town because President Nixon never gives up his post. He never resigns. He fights it, and he ends up the Cold War continues, and it's a really interesting offshoot story. So this is ha-ha, and if you watch The Watchmen, this is a little, oh, God, this is a little scary because it's I don't know. We're kind of walking the line here between fantasy and reality. But of all the things Donald Trump has his name on, and there's a lot of them, a library just doesn't seem like that's going to be one of them. You know, I mean, just, you know, I know everybody gets a presidential library. I feel like he doesn't want the library. I think like, I don't like books. Okay. I like TV. All right. I got the best words.
Your other impressions are very good. This one we're going to stop. Right
there. I can do any impression I want. Okay. Don't tell me the things that I know. Craig Mitch, I know more than you. You think you're so smart because you have a radio show. You're not. Okay. You're not. You're not the smartest guy in the room, okay?
All right, story three. Story three, folks. Here we go. Florida man stories, by the way, here on the show. Okay, story three. This is in Tampa. Sheriff's deputies in Florida are searching for a suspect who they believe exploded an ATM in an unsuccessful effort to steal money. Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office reports an ATM exploded in Tampa early Sunday night, 4:30 a.m. Surveillance cameras caught the male suspect spray painting the exterior cameras black, which is smart. In the area, whatever. The suspect was unable to get through the ATM's internal safe, so no money was taken. Authorities say that similar incident took place at a BB&T bank very nearby in November, and they're investigating the incident. Like over and over again, it's just so interesting to me that people, Joe, are always trying to get into the ATMs, and it never works, right? Like, you always see these videos, they're tying the ATMs to their truck and they're pulling them out. They can never get it and never, but they keep trying over and over again. And of course, in Florida, that's the way to go. You know,
you would think there'd be YouTube videos about how to do this correctly, because there's YouTube videos about everything, right? Like, you know, I gotta fix the sink. There's a YouTube video. You gotta, like, you know, change the exterior lights in your house. You know, there's a YouTube video. There's a YouTube video for everything, not breaking into the ATM. You know, I'm so old. Every now and then I still say, oh, I got to hit the Mac machine. Like, I never go to ATMs to get cash or anything, but every now and then, like, I still want to call it the Mac machine, which is sad. It tells everybody how old I am. Do you ever have that? Do you still call it the Mac machine once in a while?
Yeah, every once in a while. Sure.
Yeah. And everyone's like, what the hell are you talking about? never mind. I'm old, but yeah, I mean,
I'm old.
I mean, I give the guy credit. Maybe he thought blowing it up, like whatever was inside, would open up as well. But right. if you blew it up and you were successful, wouldn't all the money blow up too, and or just kind of blow
hypothetically
everywhere?
Hypothetically speaking, yes. And again, not even knowing. I mean, I guess you would case the joint, so to speak, and know that this is a popular ATM. But you're doing all this for potentially, let's say, $1,000 or $500. Like, well, you don't know. No one
here's
really
the question.
Knows how
Do
much
you want
is in
the
an ATM.
Popular ATM or the unpopular one? I mean, it's a cash machine. Money goes out. Money doesn't go in.
Yeah, the unpopular I really don't know the dynamics of it, Joe, but it would seem to me that there's got to be better ways to do this sort of thing.
Sounds like you're evading the question. Were you in on this job?
Yeah,
I don't know anything about this. I don't know how this works at all.
It wasn't. It was in Florida. Like it could have been me. Yeah.
Got a hood up there. It could be you.
Hold on. I got to move this spray paint can. Hold on. Okay, Jacksonville toy maker was cited for having a school bus on his property. The city said it shouldn't be there, but the man, Raymond Zippel, said that he can't work without the school bus. Okay, this is a bus that we were using for the last 6 years with permits from the city, Zippel said. He's 88 years old, and making toys has been his hobby for years. I don't make a profit. I have to buy the wheels and stuff, and it's just like a turnaround, and it's something that keeps me going, and I enjoy doing it. He said the bus broke down a year ago. Since then, he said two separate mechanics try to fix it. No luck. A few days ago, someone from the city said he had 10 days to remove it from his property. This guy said even if it was an RV, he couldn't park it in our property. He said this is suburbia through here. I've been here since 1958. He lives on a private road. He said he's never been given any citations till now. He, quote, said, "What I want is help. Somebody that can help me out to where I don't have to move my bus and let me keep going. I don't know how much longer I can go. I'll be 89 next year, but I love making toys." So very strange. He says that he needs the bus, Joe, in order to make the toys, although it really has nothing to do with the toys themselves. And it's really not a good explanation in this story, honestly, about this whole thing.
I thought I was missing something. And then I was listening and reading and then
you're
listening
like,
where is
the punchline?
I'm like, not where's the punchline, but where is it? I need the bus. I understand. Is he delivering the toys, right?
Like, I mean, his toy shop is the bus, apparently.
His toy shop is the bus. Okay. So I need the bus to make the toy. So the toy shop is in. Okay. All right. Yeah. That's fine.
Now it's adding up a little better. The story did not explain itself very well.
My head hurt. I mean, it's cute that the old man makes toys, but and I assume that once upon a time, he then drove the bus around, right?
Sounds right.
And handed out the toys. I think this is great. Somebody should chip in there instead of making a town for Donald Trump, who I'm sure has plenty of money from Russia and other places. He might as well just go out there and help this guy. He's in Florida. Go get some kids some toys for Christmas. Help get Zippy or whatever the hell his name is. Get his toys.
Zippy
all.
The bus. Yeah.
Zippy's bus. Go fix Zippy's bus. Why don't you fix it? I don't understand. Like what? I don't know. This is very weird. You know, Florida is a strange place, but I guess the one question is, does he have a sword?
He did not have a sword here. No, right. For sure. And did not give an alligator any beer either. Apparently
you can't confirm or deny, you know, and when you're 88, 89 years old, you just
say I'm doing whatever. Exactly.
You're a creature of routine too. You're like, hey, this is what I do. I make toys in the bus. Somebody help me get my bus working. Right.
Exactly. 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 All right. Last Florida man story of the holiday season. So we decided to make this one a good one. Christmas spirit alive and well. Michael Esmond will use his name, a pool installation company owner in Gulf Breeze, who inspired to take a little bit of stress out of the season for his neighbors. And the Florida man shelled out $4,600 to help 36 families pay for their water and gas bills. He's 73 years old. He took the initiative after noticing a due date on his own bill was December 26th. And it came with a warning that supplies may be cut off if not paid by then. And remembering when he was a business owner a long time ago, didn't have the money. He, quote, said, back in the 80s, I lived that, and I experienced a time where I had trouble paying bills. We actually had the gas disconnected. It happened to be one of the coolest winters in history. He also added, I'm trying to set an example for other companies to give back. The company has been good to me. I'm trying to give back to the community. So, Joe, the families were, instead of receiving warnings, 36 families were shocked to see it's our honor, quote, and privilege to inform you that your past due bill has been paid by Gulf Breeze Pools and Spas. Wishing your family a very happy holiday season. So that's a nice story. Our Florida man here.
It's a fantastic story to end. It helps out a lot of families. And rather than spending $5,000 on an advertising budget, he's getting $5,000 and a bunch more free publicity.
Are you kidding? Fantasy Sports Today, we charge $5,000 like for a 1 minute spot.
Well, you and I split that. It's usually 60-40 or 70-30 you, but whatever. I'm just... Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I think it's great. It's great to see things like that. I read something yesterday too. Chase Winovich of the New England Patriots paid off an entire school district's school lunch debt, which I thought was great too. So kids who couldn't afford to school lunch, but they, you know, they go in debt because the schools still feed the kids because that's the right thing to do. He went and paid that off. And this is what you're supposed to do this time of year. It's nice. It's smart for this guy. It's a good business move, much better than the mattress guy from the Astros.
Mattress
Mac, much better than that. So help some people out at the same time, not just get your free advertising. But, you know, and I imagine the people who, you know, getting their electricity shut off aren't the people who are looking for spas put in the wintertime. But who knows? Maybe they are. Maybe there's some of them that are and or get their pools done. I don't know. Everybody has a pool in Florida, right? I feel like it's like standard.
I don't have a pool. No, I don't.
You don't have a pool in Florida?
No.
You, Craig Mish, no pool? Do you like the pool or you don't like the pool?
No, I like the pool. Yeah. But we live in a community that's very close to the ocean. So there's really
okay.
Well, that's not that we go in the ocean all the time, but I guess that's, I mean, we have a community pool that we live in, but
All right, so I understand. So you have a pool that you don't have,
but you could have, but in my complex that I live in, I would say I think one out of every like 10 houses has a pool.
Okay.
We just moved in and never, it's like we've been here for a long time now, like 15 years, and we are in desperate need of an upgrade and probably a new house and all that. We just never did it. You know, it's like, we just kind of are still where we are.
That's fine. Well, I mean, I imagine too, you know, if the community pools, I mean, I live in a couple of places where you had the community pool and, you know, townhouse community kind of things earlier on.
It's
great. Cause you go, you enjoy the pool and then you leave the pool. You don't have to maintain the pool, open the pool, close the pool, all that stuff. However, you do have to deal with the public, and having a pool now on my own here at the house, let me tell you, so much better. I'm out there just chilling. It's one of the few peaceful, quiet places you have as an adult, you know, when the kids are, you know, not around or whatever. You get on the pool float, you sit there, you contemplate life. There you go. I think you could use that. I think it would be good therapy for you.
Okay. Thank you for that note.
New house, new pool, 2020, Craig Mish.
Florida man gets pool.
Florida man, Craig Mish, found
there
a pool.
Is.
He refuses to come out because of the silence.
We're out of time here. Best of the first hour coming up next. We'll be back for hour number two of Fantasy Sports Today in a couple minutes. Don't worry.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As we wrap up the first hour of the show, here's what you missed. Congratulations on bringing home a title last night.
Exactly the right word. A title, a belt. I've always wanted one of these, and it is my first big football, quote unquote, expert league. There's some great people in there. Some people from our network, Dave Martinez. It's got Frankie Stamful in there, Frankie Bag of Donuts. It's got Mike Randall, my partner from the Line Star DFS podcast. It's also got, of course, Jake Seeley in it, my good pal and your mortal enemy. And it's got Adam Ronis. And Adam Ronis, to me, is one of the top five fantasy analysts that there is, in my opinion. And I couldn't get a better guy, a better dude. And he is always at the top, whether it be baseball, whether it be football. I mean, it's just impossible to beat that guy. So winning and beating him pretty handily, you know, it's a 25-30 point win there, was a good feeling yesterday. And of course, we were very cordial with each other because he is a gentleman and a scholar. But my goodness, Craig Mish, the ability to hold that belt in my hand, and I will take pictures and I will be obnoxious at the draft with it. I'm going to, before the draft starts, get a video making Jake Seelig hold my wrist and raise my hand. Very Triple H kind of style, very Shawn Michaels, old school WWE Attitude Era style. And it's going to be a good feeling. So it's not all about the money. Sometimes it's about the pride. And it was a fun league. And this was a super flex league where I lost my third pick overall, which was Andrew Luck. So there you have it. See, sometimes you can't let injuries get you down. You can't let retirements get you down. You got to just plow forward and go win that championship, Craigie. How about you? Do you have the hardwares? We have the one, right? Not the two?
We have no hardware on my
end. I thought you had the one.
No, what is it hardware?